Alexis Spengala Speaks, and this is Deanna Spengala. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago, where it's kind of cold, windy, raining a little bit. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to Spengala.com, click on the radio schedule button, choose the year and month. You will see a list of the guests together with links to their websites, as well as other interesting links. For questions or comments during the program, email spengola1@yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spengola.com. RBN is struggling financially and therefore is conducting a pledge drive. You may help by contributing to that pledge drive. Just call 800-724-2719. You may also support RBN by purchasing products from the RBN website, including business cards and bumper stickers. You may also subscribe to the archives at a higher rate than the typical $1.33 per month, or purchase some advertising if you happen to have a product or service to sell. You may do all of that by going to republicbroadcasting.org or by calling 800-724-2719. Recently, I received an email. I'm on several people's email lists, and this email said, the subject was, Hillary Clinton gives $147 million of your tax dollars to Hamas. And then the subtitle, where are the conservatives in Congress? And why are they not saying a word about Barack Hussein Obama's support of the Muslims? And this article is found at creepingsharia.com. WordPress.com. Now, if people will watch the Tex Mars DVD entitled Rothschild's Choice, they will understand that the Jewish bankers supported, promoted, and funded Obama, whose mother is reportedly Jewish. In March of 2010, nearly 300 members of Congress signed a declaration addressed to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, also reportedly a Jew, reaffirming their commitment to the unbreakable bond that exists between the U.S. and the Israeli state. Ron Paul, in a 2009 speech on the House floor, argued that Israel actually created Hamas. He also blamed the CIA for radicalizing Muslims and the United States for supplying weapons and money to kill Palestinians. Dr. Paul opposed House Resolution 34 back in 2009, recognizing Israel's right to defend itself against attacks from Gaza, and reaffirming the United States' strong support for Israel and supporting the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Now, according to the Congressional Record, Paul said, and I quote, Hamas, if you look at the history, you will find that Hamas was encouraged and actually started by Israel because they wanted Hamas to counteract Yasser Arafat, unquote. Hamas is controlled opposition. The Jews are masters at the art of controlled opposition in order to maintain their victimhood status. The U.S. is still, after over a decade, still in the Middle East, fighting wars for Israel. My guest today is Jonathan Azaziah. His website is maskofzion.com, and he has just completed an article entitled Jewish at the Root, Israel's Destruction. Oh, okay, we're going to a break, and we'll be back with our guest today, Jonathan Azaziah. Stay tuned.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Guest today is Jonathan Azaziah. His website is maskofzion.com. Welcome to the program, Jonathan.
Well, my dear sister, thank you so very much for having me on once again.
Well, you've done a really wonderful article and have certainly targeted who the culprits are, as you are good at doing.
Well, this article was something that I decided to do just because every year when March 20th rolls around, it's very difficult for me to deal with because it's so infuriating and so aggravating that Iraq has been butchered from top to bottom, and the culprits to this day are not known by the majority of what we would call the truther community or the anti-war movement or the patriot community, whatever you want to call it. And the reason why, of course, is they don't want to be labeled anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish or racist or bigoted or any of the other code words that the Zionist power configuration uses to demonize and marginalize and silence their opposition. And even though I finished it a bit late because of some personal things happening in my life, it still came out the way that I wanted it to. And I think I hit the nail on the head in a way that has never been done before in regards to Iraq.
Okay, well, you finished it. You posted it Saturday, April 14th, and of this, just a couple of days ago. And basically, I don't believe it's ever too late to talk about this. You know, I believe in history and in accuracy and accuracy in reporting. And it has been 9 years since the U.S. invaded Iraq, and they've devastated the country. They've also done this to Afghanistan, and nobody seems to be asking any questions. Nobody seems to be saying, hey, you know, these are the longest wars we've ever had. What the heck is going on? And as you say, they always have these labels, whether it's anti-Semitic or even anti-American or unpatriotic. And as far as the anti-war movement, I mean, I believe that's controlled opposition, too. I really do.
I would agree with you, sister. I would agree with you wholeheartedly. And this is not something that I pulled out of the air, and that's why I opened up the article with comments directly from United States government officials. And there are a few other explanations that I deliberately left out because I'd like to write a follow-up to this particular piece. Condoleezza Rice has admitted that the war in Iraq was a war for the Zionist regime. Four-star General Anthony Zinni admitted it. The longtime firebrand senator from South Carolina, Ernest Hollings, had admitted it. Philip Zelikow, the Zionist regime's cover-up man for the 9/11 false flag attack, he was the primary architect of the 9/11 Commission report. He admitted it. Colin Powell's chief of staff, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, he admitted it. And even four-star general, former NATO Supreme Allied Commander Wesley Clark, who famously gave that interview to Democracy Now! Where he laid out the American militarist plans of taking down 7 countries in 5 years, which, of course, were not really American militarist plans, but Zionist militarist plans designed by Wolfowitz in the neocon cabal. And some other things that I found out just in the last few days is that George Tenet, the former director of the CIA, he blamed the neocon cabal for the invasion of Iraq. And Colin Powell himself, in his biography, Soldier, which much of it was commissioned with his support and his approval, he blamed it on what he called, quote-unquote, the Jinsa crowd. And the Jinsa, of course, is the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, where Wolfowitz and Pearl and Libby and Abrams and Feith and Shulsky and the rest of their Jewish ilk congregated to draw up the plans for the invasion. So when you look at the way that the invasion commenced and you look at the lead-up to it, it's very, very clear. The oil companies, who it tends to be blamed upon, did not want the war. They had a fantastic agreement with Saddam Hussein. It allowed them to maximize their profit because Saddam had created, he had converted the Iraqi economy over to euros instead of the dollar, and the American oil companies were trading with him in euros. So once America invaded Iraq, this agreement that they had, which was exceedingly lucrative, was completely and totally liquidated. So it wasn't a war for oil interests in terms of American oil interests. But one thing that was done that Bush spoke about publicly, and this was quoted by all the international media outlets, is that the American military, at the behest of the Office of Special Plans, which was the intelligence agency set up by Wolfowitz, Pearl, Feith, and the rest, they built a pipeline, or rather they renovated and rejuvenated a pipeline from Kirkuk, which is an oil-rich city in northern Iraq, to occupied Haifa in Palestine. And this is according to a 1975 Memorandum of Understanding between the United States and the usurping Zionist entity that basically states, and I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you can go read it for yourself at the Jewish Virtual Library, by no means an anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic source, where it unequivocally states that any time the Zionist entity is having an oil shortage, America will go and secure oil for it with whatever means are at its disposal, including military means. So my question is, as we so often hear, that the Israeli lobby or the Jewish lobby has no power, that it's merely a figment of our imagination, and that there isn't disproportionate Jewish or Zionist power and control of the United States governmental system, I would like someone to tell me what other nation on earth has this kind of agreement with the United States, with the United States, which is a superpower, the supposed most powerful country on the planet, currying favor for another entity. This is preposterous. This is ludicrous. And there is no other explanation except that the war in Iraq was a war for Zionist imperialism and for Jewish interests. And that is the only explanation.
Right. And there are books out there. In fact, they came out right after our invasion, saying, yes, it was the Bush cabal, and they were just doing it for the oil companies. And Bush, you know, who was an executive in an oil company and had oil interests. So they basically blamed it on Bush and his cronies in order to take the focus off of the real culprits, right?
Yes, exactly, sister. And what's so interesting about this, and this is something that I'm going to include in my follow-up piece, so your listeners are getting a sneak preview, is that George Bush gave a speech to the American Enterprise Institute several years ago, in which the American Enterprise Institute is a major, major neoconservative haven. It's like a nest for neoconservatism. And it is funded by all of your wealthiest Jewish billionaires and millionaires for that matter. And it's currently headed by Bruce Kovner, who's a Jewish hedge fund manager and a major hardline Zionist. And Bush gave a speech to the AEI where he says, laughingly, he says, you guys gave me more brains than anybody. So when you realize that Bush himself received his political ideology from a Jewish neoconservative front like the AEI, and Dick Cheney himself, who we always hear had a supreme power over Bush and that Dick Cheney was the brains of the operation, Dick Cheney, he got his line of political thinking from Professor Bernard Lewis of Princeton University. And Professor Bernard Lewis, who I discuss at length in the piece, is, of course, the father of the whole clash of civilizations narrative. And he is a virulent and racist and disgusting anti-Arab, anti-Islamic ideologue. So Dick Cheney adopted the ideology of a Jewish supremacist, quote-unquote, scholar in Bernard Lewis. George Bush adopted his ideology from the American Enterprise Institute. And all around Bush and Cheney, and Rumsfeld for that matter, you had nothing but Jewish neocons that emerged from this think tank and charity nexus where all of these wealthy Jews whose first priority, whose major interest, of course, was Israel. So the question begs is, if in fact this was a war for oil, why is it that you are able to speak about it being a war for oil in all kinds of different public realms, anti-war realms all across the country? And the war for oil was something that was even pushed by Jewish senators and Jewish representatives in the Senate and in the House after they had opposed the war, after they had first supported the war to cover their own behind. So the idea of a war for oil is something that is popular now, and it's touted by Jewish scholars like Chomsky and Finkelstein and in the late Howard Zinn. But if you present the idea that the war in Iraq and the already underway war in Iran, which I also discuss in the piece, and the invasion of Afghanistan, the deconstruction of Libya, the aggression, the subversive aggression against Syria, the Israeli invasions of Lebanon and the illegally besieged Gaza Strip, if you say that these things are all connected as a product of greater Israel and of international Zionism and of Jewish interests here in this country, what happens? How are you labeled? How are you persecuted? And we already know the answer.
Right. All righty, we do have to go to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water, PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Over $200,000 in exhibitor giveaways. 1,000 packets of heirloom seeds. 1,000 one-year subscriptions to Global Incident Map. 1,000 trial issues of Bob Chapman's International Forecaster. 25 vials of Dr. Sheely's Bliss. 10 Sigma 3 5-day survival courses. Autographed books by James Wesley Rawls, Matt Stein, Julia Shopik, and Dr. Sheely. And plenty more. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Go to GetPreparedExpo.com. One day passes $10 at the door. Advanced weekend passes $15. At GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Jonathan Azaziah. His website is maskofzion.com, all one word, maskofzion.com. And of course, we know that that the invasion in 2003 was a continuation of the war against Iraq that was initially begun by the first President Bush back in 1991.
Yes, this is very true, and it must be stated that the demolition of Iraq was something that was not part of Israeli foreign policy strategy, but it was part and parcel of Israeli foreign policy strategy. It was a chief objective, and it began, of course, in 1982 with Israeli foreign policy advisor Oded Yanon's famous document, A Strategy for Israel in the 1980s, in which he suggested that using subversion, the usurping Zionist entity would break up Iraq on ethno-sectarian terms, separating it into three entities, including a Sunni state, a Shia state, and a Kurdish state. And the first means of bringing this forth was to invade Iraq and bleed it economically with the first Gulf War. But the fact of the matter is, unbeknownst to many people, is that George Bush and his administration had no interest whatsoever in invading Iraq because Saddam happened to be a staunch American ally. And Saddam had just finished invading Iran, a brutal 8-year war at the behest of America and Israel and the disgusting House of Saud in Saudi Arabia. This was a war that the Zionist regime wanted, and they used the conflict between Iraq and Kuwait as the jumping point. Because the fact of the matter is, and I'm stating this unequivocally as an Iraqi, and my family comes from the south in Iraq. I have family in Kuwait, Iraqi family, who can't go back to their country because of the way that the British Empire, which in reality is the Rothschild Empire, carved up the Middle East after the First Gulf War, after the First World War, excuse me. Kuwait was a part of southern Iraq, part of the province of Basra, and the monarchy in Kuwait was a ally of the British and of America, and was selling the Anglo states oil at a very cheap price. So Saddam rightfully saw this as economic war on Iraq, and he decided to invade not only to end the economic war that Kuwait was waging on Iraq, but also because he felt that the Iraqi people wanted Kuwait to be part of Iraq, which historically is known as Iraq or Mesopotamia.
Didn't he also find that they were using side drilling and stealing oil from Iraq?
Yes, exactly. They were siphoning oil from the Iraqi side of the border, on top of the fact that they were cutting in on their profits just because their oil fields were taken from Iraq more than 100 years ago. They were, in fact, siphoning oil off of Iraqi oil fields in Basra in the south. So Saddam's invasion of Kuwait was absolutely positively justified. And then it came with a congressman by the name of Tom Lantos. And Tom Lantos was described in Walt and Mayor Shimer's book, The Israel Lobby, as being true blue and white and having no rival on Capitol Hill in his devotion to Israel. And Tom Lantos headed up the Congressional Human Rights Caucus and the Congressional Human Rights Foundation. And it was at these hearings where he staged a horrific, horrific hoax that is now known as the Incubator Babies hoax, in which he had a supposed Kuwaiti nurse get up, or Kuwaiti civilian rather, get up in front of the Human Rights Caucus and say that Iraqi army men were butchering and brutalizing babies inside their incubators in Kuwait. This turned out to be a monstrous and horrific lie of Holocaust-type proportions, because it turned out that this Kuwaiti civilian, whose name was Naira, was actually the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter to America. So Lantos used this lie of incubator babies, which Bush would later cite as his chief reason for invading Iraq. They would use this pretext, as they would need to invade Iraq to save the Kuwaitis with a humanitarian intervention. But even this wasn't enough. So the neocons took to the media, led by Charles Krauthammer, and as they normally do, they began comparing Iraq to Germany and Saddam to Hitler, and of course my people as Nazis, which of course is just a horrific and ridiculous blood libel that the Jews have been using ever since Hitler began to resist them with his rise to power in 1933. And the neocons, under the banner of the Committee for Peace and Security in the Gulf, an Orwellian name if there ever was one, and this was formed by Richard Perle, who's known as the Prince of Darkness, and a liberal Jewish congressman named Stephen Solars. So this shows that there was neoliberal and neoconservative support for the Gulf War. They began to exert sledgehammer-like pressure on the government of Bush Sr., and with a blitz coming from the media and the human rights allegations, the human rights abuse allegations coming from Lantos, the invasion was cemented.
Right. All righty, we do have to go to a break. We will be right back with our guest today, Jonathan Azaziah. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Hey, John, you know, we were kind of wondering
what?
That, well, we knew you guys were saving stuff and getting ready for something like
yes.
this.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say
the is, answer's no.
Man, I've been your friend for 20 years. We played on the company softball team together.
We simply don't have enough food.
But I'm your friend.
Look, Norbert, I came to you 3 years ago, and you basically called me crazy and walked away.
But...
Sorry.
Bummer.
Folks, they may be rolling their eyes at you now, but they'll be on your front porch when it all hits the fan. So why don't you mosey on over to TexasReady.net and order up a Liberty Seed Bank for you, your shirt-tailed relatives, and all your non-prepping friends. Order your bank at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas Ready?
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Is Jonathan Azaziah. His website is maskofzion.com. During the Gulf War, August 2nd, 1990 to February 28th, 1991, the U.S. attacked electricity production facilities, nuclear reactors, telecommunications equipment, port facilities, oil refineries and distributors, railroads and bridges. The Pentagon admitted in a report on June 23rd, 1991, that their targets were not limited to military targets, but that they deliberately did great harm to Iraq's ability to support itself as an industrial society. By the end of the war, Iraq had only 4% of its pre-war electricity. 50 railroad and highway bridges between Basra and Baghdad were damaged or rendered inoperable. Bombs destroyed 8 multi-purpose dams, 4 of the 7 pumping stations, and 31 municipal water and sewage facilities, 20 in Baghdad, resulting in the sewage pouring into the Tigris, Iraqi's water source. This was not necessary.
No, of course it wasn't necessary, but it was necessary for the people who designed the war because this was something that it was religious to them. And this is something else that I mentioned in the piece, and I believe I've mentioned it on your fine program before and several other shows that I've done, that Iraq was invaded on Purim, not once but twice. Both during the Gulf War and the 2003 invasion, in the horrific false flag bombings that took place just a few weeks ago on the ninth anniversary of the invasion also occurred on the Jewish holiday of Purim, what they like to call Motzai Purim, which means just after Purim. So this had a very religious significance to the people that designed this war, because Purim, of course, is the Jewish holiday of revenge from the Book of Esther, where the Jews slaughter 75,000 Persian men, women, and children in response to the alleged plot from the Persian Prime Minister Haman, who several Israeli officials and neocons compared Saddam to in the lead-up to the Gulf War and the 2003 invasion. So this level of destruction was literally biblical in proportion. And it's also important to note that a well-connected Orthodox Jewish lawyer, a neocon named Bruce Fine, who famously came out against the Bush administration for their use and torture. And of course, he didn't mention his tribalist brethren, his co-religionists who had designed this policy of torture and who had imported Israeli experts in torture. He just simply criticized Bush. But Bruce Fine, during the Gulf War, said that the Iraqi people, who he referred to as woolly-headed, should be punished so they know never to mess with the United States ever again. This is sick and twisted and criminal thinking, and it could only come from religious fanatics, and that's exactly what these people are. And in addition to that, all of the heart-rending and ungodly statistics that you had mentioned, 4,000 schools, institutes, universities, and colleges were turned to nothing. Textile, transportation, telecom, light, pharmaceutical sectors were devastated. Even the religious sectors were devastated, Sunni and Shia, Muslim and Christian alike. And the death toll after the Gulf War, of course, there were sanctions that were implemented by this exact same cabal, and it was triggered by the human rights abuse allegations of the notorious Zionist liar Tom Lantos. Over 2 million Iraqis, 2 million Iraqis died in these sanctions, including 700,000 children. 1.5 million children were made orphans by these sanctions. And the amount of people who were wounded from radiation or from maiming because of the cluster bombs and the phosphorus and the uranium is still unknown to this very day. And It's devastating for me personally, because my family's village in Kufa was completely destroyed during the 2003 invasion. There's nothing left of Kufa now, or barely anything left for that matter. So in addition to all the death and destruction that the Gulf War and the sanctions held, you have another 2.5 million people who have been slaughtered during this current meddling, this current invasion. 4 million children have been made orphans, 2 million women made widows. I can't even fathom one single human being going through such a thing. And you're talking about large swaths of Iraqi society who have had to experience this. And I think that that's the most important point of all. And that's something that I attempted to stress in the piece, that it absolutely is important for us to point out who the murderers, who the butchers, who the destroyers and invaders of Iraq really were. But not just for the sake of the truth, but for the sake of the people who perished because of them. And there is not a single Iraqi from the time of 1990 and the lead up to the Gulf War to now, and we can even take it back further because of the Iran-Iraq War, and even further than that when the CIA and Mossad assassinated Abdul Karim Qasem in 1963, who was a real Iraqi revolutionary leader. Iraqis have not known any peace, and especially within the last 22 years of conflict, Iraqis have never known any kind of peace of mind. There is not a single Iraqi who does not suffer from some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder because of what these people have done. And I think, sister, after 20 years of avoiding the issue, it is high time to start calling out the murderers of Iraq, and they are Zionist Jews. And I think for the sake of the Iraqi people, the least that we can do for them as Americans is call out their murderers for who they are.
Right. And of course, they have their the corporations who have been paid millions of dollars to go in and rebuild the country, basically have not done that. And some of those companies include Dresser Industries, Bechtel, Caterpillar, Inc., Motorola, AT&T, Raytheon, General Motors, Ford Motor, Chrysler, and the Army Corps of Engineers, which is a government entity. They're supposed to rebuild. But some of these companies basically have direct ties to the CIA and to the Council on Foreign Relations. When you look at the people that work for the Zionists, that work for the Jews, there's a lot of criminals here and a lot of money to be made. And it's just amazing to me that there would be people who would slaughter others for profit. It is just unbelievable to me.
Yes, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable to me, too. And what makes it even more despicable is that there are several of these persons who have profited, who are directly responsible for the war plans that led to the invasion of Iraq. You had Douglas Feiss, a self-committed Zionist, a vehement anti-Arab racist. And this is a person who has Theodore Herzl's picture hanging in his house, who was heading up the reconstruction efforts in Iraq. You had Dan Senor, an Israeli citizen, whose family worked for the Jewish Agency and whose sister is the bureau chief of AIPAC in occupied Al-Quds, Jerusalem, who was the senior advisor to Paul Bremer. And Paul Bremer, who was the head of the coalition, or what I like to call the Colonial Provisional Authority in Iraq, which was responsible for the reconstruction. This was a person who came from Marsh and McLennan, which, of course, is part of the AIG empire of Maurice Greenberg, who had such a heavy hand in the 9/11 false flag attack. So in addition to that, you had Michael Fleischer, the brother of Ari Fleischer, who worked for an Israeli military intelligence front for as far back since 1995, who ended up heading up the private sector of Iraqi reconstruction. And this piece of Zionist trash privatized 200 Iraqi state-owned companies. 200. He robbed the Iraqi people of billions of dollars. So you have Michael Fleischer on one end inside Iraq. You have Douglas Feith on another end working for the rebuilding and rehabilitation of Iraq inside the Pentagon. And then you have none other than Dianne Feinstein, the powerful senator from California, working from inside the Senate to rebuild Iraq. And during her time as the ranking member of MILCON, the Military Construction Appropriation Subcommittee, this piece of Zionist trash gave billions of dollars worth of no-bid contracts to her husband, Richard C. Bloom, who headed up Perini and URS, two of the biggest military contractors for Iraq during that time. And Richard Bloom himself was also the head of A-Star Air Cargo, which was responsible for carting the military back and forth and bringing materials into Iraq for the entire time that he was CEO from 01 to 05. Not to mention Donald Rumsfeld, who was also the head of... remember the name of the firm off the top of my head now.
Well, was it associated with Halliburton?
No, sister. It wasn't Halliburton. It was an Israeli firm. It just hit me. Cerberus Global Investments. That's the one. Cerberus Global Investments is a New York-based firm that now owns the Zionist regime's interest in Bank Leumi, which is the second biggest Zionist bank. Cerberus is run by a Zionist Jew by the name of Steven Feinberg, whose right-hand man, the VP of the company, is Michael Steinhardt, who is the financier and founder of Birthright. You know, the Israeli propaganda outfit that takes young Jews and basically molds them into occupation soldiers for the Zionist regime. And Cerberus Global Investments was responsible for setting up military bases and camps all across occupied Iraq, from Mosul in the north to Baghdad in the middle, to Basra and Najaf in the south. So everywhere you look, you're talking about whether it's the CIA and the CFR or Jewish interests that tie all the way back to the Zionist regime. You had the Jewish power configuration and all of their criminal friends profiting off of Iraqi blood. And there's no other word for it other than disgusting.
Wow. Absolutely. Amazing things that you've put together in this article. It is amazing. And, of course, the Congress have insider information because they know where to invest their funds. And if you look at not just Dianne Feinstein, but if you look at a lot of members of Congress, you will find that many of them had investments in companies that made money. And so, you know, so many people go to Congress as just moderately, you know, middle-class Americans, and they come back millionaires, and you have to ask why. Why is this the case? And it happens all the time, has happened for a long time, and the American public is just so ignorant of the facts because we also have a Jewish-controlled media, particularly when you're talking about Fox News and some of those, they're just, Murdoch mouthpieces.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly, and this is such an important point. And I bring this up briefly in the conclusion of the piece, where I mentioned just two personalities. One person's name is Peter Beinart, and another person's name is Noah Feldman. And Peter Beinart, who was a I guess what you could call a champion for the Jewish community, because he subscribes to the whole liberal Jewish personality, the liberal Jewish identity. This was a person who pushed the Iraq war hardcore, lock, stock, and barrel at the Jewish rag, the New Republic, and even wrote a book about it called The Good Fight. And after, of course, it turned out that the Iraq war was a disaster and went nothing like the neocons said it was going to go, you would figure that a person like this, such a prominent personality in the media, would have he would be buried. He would be buried for going along with a criminal enterprise. Instead, he's now reinvented himself as, again, the same personality, the same identity as a champion for Jewish liberalism, but now he's directing it towards Israel. And he's just written a book called The Crisis of Zionism, and his ugly face is now everywhere. And the same thing goes for Noah Feldman, who's the other person I bring up. Noah Feldman, he served as the chief constitutional consultant for the Colonial Provisional Authority in Iraq. He developed the constitution which was attempting to divide Iraq into the three provinces that I had mentioned that were designed by Oded Yanon. And you would think, again, after the system failed and there was so much perceived, and I say perceived for good reason, ethnic and sectarian conflict in Iraq. In reality, a lot of these conflicts were staged by Mossad and a secret agency of the Pentagon known as P2OG, Preemptive Operations Group, which was headed up by an agent of the Project for the New American Century and a Wolfowitz protege named William Schneider. So Mossad and P2OG ripped the country apart while the Zionist media blamed it on sectarian terms. But despite this, Noah Feldman's contributions to the Iraqi constitution attempted to divide Iraqi society on sectarian terms, and alhamdulillah, thank goodness that it failed. But the point is that, again, you would think that Feldman would be buried, and he wasn't. Instead, he maintains a very, very influential position as a chief in academic circles all throughout this country. And the same thing goes for Jeffrey Goldberg, the former Israeli occupation prison guard. He's the one that disseminated the lies of the neocons about Saddam building weapons of mass destruction and having ties to Al-Qaeda. This person should be thrown in prison as an accessory to crimes against humanity. And he's simply gotten one journalistic position after another. The same thing goes for Judith Miller, the Jewish bureau chief from the New York Times, who also wrote articles with another Zionist Jew named Michael Gordon about Saddam's ties to Al-Qaeda. This person, even after being fired from the New York Times, she's now gotten a position with Murdoch's Fox News, and she now is a senior fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations. So this just goes to show you that this network that I talk about so prominently in the piece, this Jewish kinship network, this Jewish tribal network. Even those who aren't Jewish, we can consider them Shabbos Goyim, Jews who serve Gentiles who serve the Jews on Shabbat. Or in geopolitical terms, they're Gentiles who serve the Jews at the international level. This network is so closely knit that no matter how many crimes they commit, no matter how egregious and despicable their behavior is, they will always be given a safe haven because of the Jewish domination of just about every aspect of America's social society.
Right. And you brought up the Project for a New American Century, Bill Kristol, William Kristol, the son of Irving Kristol, a former Trotskyite, founded in the spring of 1997. Oh, all righty. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Guest today is Jonathan Azaziah. His website is maskofzion.com. And I mentioned PNAT, Project for a New American Century, just before the break. And, of course, those same founders are often on Fox, on the Fox network, and they are the ones that are also promoting the war against Iran. So these people are just very consistent in their warmongering efforts. Jonathan, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. This began again during the Gulf War, and they initially called themselves the Committee for Peace and Security in the Gulf. Once they realized that the Committee for Peace and Security in the Gulf was very narrow, they decided to reinvent themselves as PNAC in 1997. And almost immediately, they began writing letters to Bill Clinton to pressure him into declaring all-out war on Iraq, which he didn't want to do. And what is so interesting about the Clinton story, and people can find this information in my good friend Michael Collins Piper's book, Cover-Ups and Conspiracies, which is a nice little compilation of some of the better-known articles that he's done over the years, in which it was none other than William Kristol who leaked the story of the Monica Lewinsky scandal more than a week before the international media picked it up. And you have to ask yourself, how was it that Kristol knew such a thing? And then there is the even more damning information that Monica Lewinsky had traveled to the Zionist regime just a few months before it happened and met with none other than Benjamin Netanyahu himself. So the question that needs to be asked is, what kind of little old Jewish intern would have the power or the importance to meet with the prime minister of the most powerful entity on the face of the planet? And it was very clear, this was a neocon plot to get Bill Clinton to commit himself to war in Iraq. Now, obviously, in the dwindling down of his presidency, he couldn't have waged all-out war in Iraq. But because of the pressure from the neocons in PNAC, Bill Clinton did sign the Iraq Liberation Act into law. This was an act that was pushed heavily by Joe Lieberman and Mr. Gilbert. I can't remember his first name, but this was a Zionist Jew from New York in the House. It was Mr. Gilbert who actually wrote the Iraq Liberation Act. And this legislation was backed by AIPAC, and the Iraq Liberation Act was cited by Bush when he invaded Iraq in 2003. So the neocons, under the PNAC banner, infiltrated, or rather inserted themselves into the framework of the Bush administration. And since then, they have disbanded, but only in name. Now they've regrouped under another banner, the FPI and the FDD, the Foreign Policy Initiative and the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And these two groups have already successfully prosecuted a war in Libya that has left over 100,000 innocent people dead, including Muammar al-Qaddafi himself, Allah yarhamo. And they're now pushing for more war in Syria and more war in Iran.
Oh, amazing. And it doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter who the president is. They are going to have their way. All righty, we are going to our 60-second break. We will be right back after a station ID.